Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. First, some news. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap said today that ranked choice voting cannot be used in the June primaries after all due to a confluence of unintended effects following from a people's veto vote. It's kind of complicated. Dick, as we know, you are a key supporter of ranked choice voting in Maine, and you're joining us from the State House. You've been up there watching this happen. Is the Secretary of State correct? How did this happen?
The Secretary of State is not correct. People's democracy here is being challenged again. And I got to start, Keith, by just conveying the degree to which it was a model of American democracy at its best that got us to this point. There was a working group that developed the law. It was debated over years while the referendum, you know, leading up to the referendum vote. People passed it by a significant majority. And it's been the law for 15 months. This last challenge, which has come up today, is a suggestion that there is a conflict within the statutes that makes it unclear whether we're allowed to use ranked choice voting or not. And, you know, my understanding of law is that if there is any kind of a conflict in the statutes, the new law almost always supersedes what the previous law was. And ranked choice voting is clearly the new law. I almost want to say I'm outraged by the legislature thinking they have that kind of authority over what the people think is the right way to elect our leaders.
So do you think there would be a need for another legal challenge?
Well, I do. I mean, the Secretary of State has been saying for the last month or so that he's working on implementation. And, you know, it took us a long time to get to that point. But if today the news is that, no, he's abandoning that, then yes, the plan is for the Committee for Ranked Choice Voting to go to the courts and ask the courts to insist that, yes, indeed, this is the law. And we're confident that the courts will do that quickly and provide, you know, finally, I guess, some true certainty to the fact that this is how the election is going to happen this June.
All right. So more to come on this. Any thoughts, Meredith?
The key thing is that time is not on anybody's side at this point. So as you say, Dick, 15 months, but here we are with only a couple months before the primary.
I can't help but think that there's definitely going to be some politics around this with respect to Matt Dunlap. I mean, he has, for the most part, been a champion of a lot of Democratic causes, but he is up for re-election every 2 years. The House of Representatives elects him. And if he somehow falls short and people are outraged, as Dick just suggested, there could be a movement to replace Matt Dunlap as Secretary of State in an upcoming election by Democrats, or there could be Matt Dunlap using this. He's I think, a very masterful politician. He's elevated his profile so much. This could really be a launch for Matt Dunlap to the national stage, either in litigation that goes up to the Supreme Court, or I see a lot of life in this issue down the road.
Right. And I should emphasize again that the lawsuit – is not just the Committee for Ranked Choice Voting representing the people and the people's vote. It's also candidates for governor who have joined this lawsuit saying, they want to be clear that ranked choice voting is going to be used here.
And also you've got that Janet Mills has issued a statement a few hours ago stating that she is asking the legislative council to come together in an emergency session to consider a new piece of legislation to run through the legislature.
All right. We shall see. Much more to come. On another front, Maine Governor Paul LePage is in the news for calling a federal judge an imbecile. Now, this is a judge in Maryland presiding over a case alleging that President Donald Trump has violated what's known as the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. In this context, the Attorneys General of District of Columbia and Maryland are citing the fact that Governor LePage stayed recently at the Trump International Hotel in D.C. and then appeared at a press conference with the president. The argument is that visiting state officials, including LePage, might feel obligated to stay at the Trump Hotel in order to receive political favors from the president. And this, Cynthia, runs afoul of the Emoluments Clause, some believe, which is meant to prevent the president from benefiting financially from his position?
Yes. And the case is just overcome one hurdle, and that is a motion to dismiss filed by the president. But what it does is open up the litigation to the discovery process, in which the a lot of the information that the plaintiffs seek will be uncovered. Now, what's going to be interesting for Maine people is perhaps to learn more about Governor LePage's visit and the details around that. But what's interesting to me is that in Maine, we do not have a real enforceable, public records access bill. I mean, what's typically thought of as FOIA or FOA. I mean, people make requests. In this case, the reporters for the Press Herald made these requests for information. They got some about this stay in Washington. But what's interesting is, and what will help prove the case, is if in the 4 years that President Obama was in the White House, Governor LePage went down to Washington and stayed at the Holiday Inn in Maryland, you know, routinely. And then all of a sudden, when Trump becomes president, he goes to the Washington Hotel owned by the president and spends substantially more. I mean, that is evidence that the motive for staying there is not necessarily, you know, the clean sheets and the soap. It's to get something in return. And Governor LePage's comment is offensive, of course, but we're used to that and uninformed and we're used to that. But he really doesn't get it, that this is serious business, that this is one decision that contradicts another decision that will make its way to the Supreme Court, and Maine people may, in fact, be embarrassed.
Yeah. Dick, what are the consequences, I guess, of the Maine governor calling a federal judge an imbecile?
Well, I don't know if there are consequences, but it's so many of what used to be our norms of ethics are just being challenged, and it begins with the president not releasing his tax returns and not creating a firewall between his ownership interests and his presidency. And so the opportunities for this conflict of interest are all over the place. And this is a relatively minor example of a Maine governor, one state governor, wanting to stay in a hotel that has a Trump name. But I think it is also true that the governor, by making a remark that really is insensitive to, at the very least, the appearance of participating in this conflict of interest, that there just should be more sensitivity among people in public life about that kind of thing.
Meredith?
I agree with Dick.
All right. Well, I guess we have to leave it there.
Yeah.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next week.